Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati, now joined in studio by Jeff Jadia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
And aspiring cornerback Todd Lebo.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing me headphones.
Can we have that clip, please? No. Come here.
I was sitting right in front of him.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to do it. You come in here. It'll be worse if you're not in here.
What?
It'll be worse if you're not in here.
Here I stand.
Here we go. Jake, can you get that? There's a free microphone. Just happens to be a free microphone over here. Yep. What are you red-faced for right now? What are you blushing for?
I'm embarrassed.
No, you're not.
Why are you embarrassed, man?
Let me tell you something.
I don't believe in you.
This is the first time you've talked about this?
No,
they've been talking about it yesterday, but I was waiting for a special opportunity. I wasn't going to talk about this without my friend Todd present. Todd Lebo was asking questions of Andy Reid yesterday.
Sunday
after the game. And we'll set the scene. What were you searching for? What were you trying to do here?
You know, listen, they won a game. They were impressive on defense. Nobody believed except Jeff Chedia that they were going to win the game.
Right.
That's right. I made that bet.
You
talk
did.
About that.
That's right.
Not with me.
Not with you.
Who'd you bet?
You bet Derek.
Derek Haglund.
Wow.
Passed him in the van on the way to the game.
He needs to stop making bets, man.
Yo, hey, you remember the Seinfeld when the guy would make the bets and just try to lose the bets on purpose to get a date? Mm. I think he just wanted to go to lunch with you. He was going to win or lose that bet. I think he just
wait.
He just
I think
got
you lost that bet.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah,
that was the
nothing,
bet?
Buddy.
I thought he was paying, but I'm paying, huh?
You're the guy.
I'll give him a gift card. You can give him or something like that. You don't have to go.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
Do you have the clip?
Yeah, wow. I got it. Hey,
now, this is...
Judea, dude. Yeah. No.
I bet you lunch.
When Alex tried to come at me with some horrible bets, we went straight cash, homie.
Was Alex in there? Go cheap! Please!
Yeah. Dude.
Either way, he was a winner. He got lunch.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lordy. Yeah.
You lost that bet.
Jeff right now is thinking, I immediately regret this decision.
Cheese your Raiders. Proud. Either way, I win.
We have too much fun.
Sorry, off track.
Jeff's expense.
No, you're right.
Get
track.
To the story.
Let's hear Todd Lebo's questioning of Andy Reid after the game on Sunday.
If somebody's down, the next man steps in and goes.
What was your confidence level heading in without him out there, though? You personally?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we were going to do okay, you know? So.
Okay, or like this well?
Yeah, I thought we were going to win the game. How's that? Is that what you wanted? You're going to have a hard time finding it. You could play, and I'm probably going to think we're going to win the game. So.
My favorite part is the studio audience
right.
Loved it, man.
Fantastic.
I mean, all the other reporters. Oh!
Which reporter, which fellow reporter was laughing the hardest at this?
I think most of the laughter came from the back of the room with all the hangers-on that were in there.
Oh, really?
Quite the entourage.
I mean, Kevin Richards was in there, the Backstreet Boy.
Oh, what did you think of that?
This just whatever.
Big Chiefs fan. He was taking pictures in the locker room and everything else. Did you talk to him at all about his body of work?
No, I did not. Jeff, do you go to press conferences all across the country?
Yeah.
Are they like that other places? Are there people in there?
No. It's only one time has that happened, and it was at the Atlanta Falcons stadium last year with the NFC Championship game, and Arthur Blank had a whole bunch of people in, but usually they have fans and family separated. Right.
But like the end kind of felt like an introductory press conference for a new coach or
right.
something.
Right. Yeah, right. They all cheered for Andy, and they cheered for Alex at the end.
Yeah, I think we've got it. We've got so it was just – who was back? Who was the one cheering?
Well, there's several people from
family,
the Hunt family, you know, sons and daughters
I think
and
Andy's
people.
Family's in there, right? Andy's
wife. Yeah, Andy's
in there.
Wife is in there, and then, then the Backstreet Boy, and then some other actor guy. And
what actor guy?
Well, told me he was on the TV show Chuck, but it wasn't Chuck. Someone from Chuck.
What's going to help you there at
Chuck
all?
Chuck was a TV show on NBC.
I don't even know
ago.
About that.
Yeah, I remember the show. I just never watched it. Let's see here. Chuck.
But it wasn't Chuck. It was a lesser person.
Was that
Chuck.
That show with Presley? What's her name? Jamie Presley.
No, that was what. My name is Earl.
Do we have any background on why one of the Backstreet Boys is a Chiefs fan?
His wife is from here. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He used to come to a lot of restaurants in the plaza. Yeah. When he was, I don't know, 10 years ago. 5 years ago. He's been seen around town before.
Yeah. Loves the Chiefs. He had a little Chiefs pin on his shirt.
I like that.
Yeah.
I enjoy the music of the Backstreet Boys. Let's listen to some. Okay, here is the end of the press conference with the studio audience apparently in attendance.
He wasn't primary on that, and Alex found him and shot him there.
All right, thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
What?
Very nice.
What?
I mean, what?
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the infamous Mike Gundy. That ain't true!
Yeah.
Because there was a whole crowd of OSU supporters. And, hey, coach!
Got you, Jenny.
I think you should be playing As Long As You Love Me.
That ain't true!
Here, look through these casted characters from Chuck and tell me if you recognize anyone here.
I thought there was no cheering in the press box.
Yeah.
It wasn't the press box.
Who's it?
Might have been that guy.
Who? Well, the media room, and that the same
Adam Baldwin?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Could have been this other guy. I don't know. I
need to get to the bottom of that. That's a poor job of reporting there, I can tell you that.
We were just trying to get Alex Smith to go into the interview room so we could ask him some questions and hear another round of applause. And they were all in there talking to
Alex. Hey, Alex!
So tell me.
Rebo came strong, though. Came
all right, strong. I'm leaving.
No. What position could you play?
I thought about this afterwards. I think the one thing I could do on an NFL field would be to be a holder. I could learn that craft and maybe accomplish that one out of every 10 times. I don't think you have the hands for it.
You're talking about holding like the playbook?
No.
Holding the play.
I could probably hold a field goal or an extra point about one out of every 10 times.
What about
times.
Long snap?
You don't want to get
that. I could probably learn the
They can't
snap.
Hit you anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
you
can do that.
They can't hit you anymore.
Nah, dude, you would. You could not. No, he couldn't.
I would rather be a holder.
On field goals, he could.
Dude.
Extra points, I mean. I think he could do that, right?
Yeah, I could do that.
I think you would miss the majority of them.
I feel like
it's a bad.
You ever heard of bump and run for cornerbacks? I'd be tripping falls.
But for a, that's right. But I don't like for a punt.
Slow and go.
I don't think you'd want a long snap for a punt.
No,
because then they'd have to go down to cover.
You gotta go cover. Something.
Right, but like for just for an extra point, yes, yes, he could.
I could maybe do that.
Yes, Benny Logan, you can't touch the long snapper now.
On the freshman football team, the B team, not the A team, Sherman High School in 1984.
It's all the same, though.
I was an offensive guard, you know, big guys. They really, that's how they
long snap is what he could do. Were you, did you like the attention that Andy Reid paid you?
It's fine.
It's been on NFL Network now?
I don't know. No one hears the questions. No one who's asking the questions. It's just Andy being funny.
You set him up.
I did. Let him say something. Come on.
Play it one more time.
No, I got to go. Listen.
I don't want you to go.
All right, I'm going to go because I know Jeff wants to talk about what's going on on the NFL Network.
I don't think Jeff does.
No, actually, I don't right now.
All right, I'm going to
talk about the NFL.
Right. Go NFL. Go Chiefs. Right. Chargers. Big game. Right. On NFL Network.
Okay. Now, there you go. It is on the NFL Network coming up on Saturday night. So you're up there wagering that the Chiefs would win.
I was.
And so you tell me what you saw from that defense without Marcus Peters.
I think what I saw was just a better game plan. I saw a more sensible game plan given the talent that Bob Sutton had to work with. And they played more zone. I mean, I think that was pretty clear to anybody who watched the game. They did a lot more things as far as changing up the defensive lines, Justin Houston rushing from the inside. And look, I think whenever you lose a player who's as good as Marcus Peters is, I think one of two things can happen. Either your team rises up or they fall apart. And I think that this team, the way they played and the body language they displayed, the emotion they had, the energy they had, it looked like a team that felt like we're not that good. And I think for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they played like a team that feels like, hey, we're really good and it's just going to come back. And I think that's a big difference because I think they had to prove something. They went out there with a mentality of, like, we have to show people something. We have to show ourselves something. And I think when you know you're down a star, you're not as good as you once were. I think that's what came out.
Can you imagine what the 30 for 30 would be like on this season of the Chiefs? Yeah. Like what did Terrence Mitchell do to lose playing time to Kenneth Acker and Phillip Gaines, when you would see that he'd have some rough spots, but he would make plays, and clearly he was the better of the three, and then now he's back out there. He looks like an NFL cornerback, which can't be said for everyone that's played that position for the Chiefs this year. What in the hell has happened to Parker Anger? after his ACL. You know, it's been over a year now, and he just doesn't. It's like he doesn't exist anymore, despite the problems they've had in offensive line, and then everything that's happened with Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
So you heard the reports on NFL Network that Marcus Peters got into some type of verbal altercation with an assistant coach on the bus on the way to the game, or on the way to the airport after the game against the Jets. And so what was your reaction to that when you heard that, okay, there's another layer to this Marcus Peters story that we didn't know about?
I guess, one, I wasn't surprised by it, given that the way that game played out, you've lost. He's a combustible guy. They'd lost four straight games. It seemed like there was something more to what had happened beyond just the penalty and leaving the field. So to hear that happen, I wasn't surprised. I think this is like a really huge moment in Marcus Peters' career. And I think Andy Reid recognized that. Look, he needed to be sat down for what happened and for what happened after the game. But I think Andy Reid's also in a bit of a tough spot because he likes the kid. He knows the kid has talent.
But did you agree with the decision when it happened?
Yeah.
You thought, okay.
Yeah, I think
there were a lot of people that are pissed off that didn't think it should happen.
They should have been suspended?
Yes.
I don't think you can.
A lot of angry Chiefs fans when that happened. Now they're fine with it because the Chiefs won. But you ask Nate, Jake, there were people all. Andy Reid's giving up on the season. There's no way they can win without Marcus Peters. And it got contentious.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, no,
why didn't they suspend Travis Kelce?
Well, I think it's I think it's two different things. One, you're talking about he left the field. He came back on the field without socks on, which made him look like an idiot. And then he had this fight. So I think you have a number of things happening. I don't think what I don't like about the whole Marcus Peters story here that's been playing out throughout the whole course of the year is that now it's gotten to the point where people are like, he shouldn't be here. Let's get rid of this guy. We don't have to have this kind of element on the team. And it's like
– it's kind of racial.
It's definitely
absolutely.
Racial. It all comes back to the anthem. I mean, you start looking at the things that he's done. Yeah. It's like, look, he punted a ball into the stands against Carolina after he stripped a guy to set up a win. You know, I think he was excited. He shouted at a coach. I've never heard of a player who got penalized or punished for doing that. He dunked a football in the goalpost after scoring a touchdown. He got an unsportsmanlike.
Which Tony Gonzalez did every single time he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, so you start looking at you start adding up the things that make him such a bad element. It doesn't really add up.
And Tom Brady gets praised for shouting at assistant coaches. Ah, look at that guy. That's a real red ass.
Yeah, I mean, what I see is a guy who's very competitive, who's very combative, who wants to win, who cares about his team. I think the whole talk that he's selfish is ridiculous.
He doesn't tackle. That's the one thing on the field.
Well, he hadn't tackled this year. He tackled last year. Yeah, I mean, that play against Carolina, I mentioned he was tackling the guy. He went up, and you go back and watch it. He came up, squared him up, hit him, and took the ball away from him. I mean, he's done it before. He doesn't want to do it this year for some reason. But I think that because of his personality, he has walls up, doesn't trust people, doesn't let people in. Because of the anthem, you know, that's turned a lot of people off. I think people are writing their own narrative about who he is as opposed to saying, look, he's an immature kid who's really talented. He's not out there getting arrested, which I think does matter. He's not Terrell Owens.
I mean, people
Owens.
Talk about him like he's a serial criminal.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. That part is crazy to me. Yeah. Like, you'd think that he'd been arrested and accused of multiple crimes, and I don't believe that's ever happened at all.
No, you don't. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, obviously gives back to Oakland. He was in the mall a few weeks back and bought a kid a pair of Air Jordans. I think he's trying to find stuff to do around
town. Handing out turkeys.
I mean, so it's like, all that stuff matters. I don't think when you start talking about should a guy be here or not be here, that stuff matters. And you start talking about getting rid of really talented players. And even the fact that people are saying, well, he's not as good as he once was. He is one of the top five cornerbacks in the NFL. He may not be playing
that
way. Yes, I believe that.
Okay.
I mean, he may be playing at that level right now. But you look at his stats, you look at his production, you look at what he's done. He's been all pro twice. That means you're one of the two best players at your position.
So all these things, and you talked about, if you look at all these different incidents individually, nothing demands a suspension. So then why did you agree with him being suspended for a game?
I think what he did in that moment was wrong. And I think
it was too much.
It was over the top.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what he did, and to get into a fight afterwards, was wrong. Now, you can go with the – explanation of it been leading up to this, that there have been other things that have happened maybe we may not know about. But I think, yeah, for that situation, you don't want a young player to do something like that and think you can get away with it. You know, I think that, you know, it was not a good look, and Andy Reid recognized that. And I think it was time to sit him down and teach him something.
How much time have you spent around Marcus Peters? You did the story of Marcus Peters.
Yeah. So I know Marshawn really well too. Yeah.
In your opinion, this can only be a guess, but you would know better than most. How do you think he's going to respond to this and coming back to play on Saturday?
I think he will play at a high level. I don't think he will spend a minute thinking about what's happened this past week. I think that's how he's wired. I think what makes a cornerback really good is you have a short memory. And so I think that's why all this stuff happens, because he doesn't really remember, oh, I did this before. I got to pull myself back. And what I say about what I was talking to somebody over the weekend about Marcus, I said Marcus is like that friend of yours who's really hot-tempered and really unpredictable. And when you go out, you go to a bar, if you sit there and let him do 5 or 6 shots and let him bump into a couple guys and talk crap to a couple people, you know what's going to happen. But if you're smart, you pull him aside. You give him fewer drinks. You try to make sure, okay, this is getting to a place where he's not going to be able to handle himself.
So every friend that I have.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Making sure. Exactly. And that's how I look at it. I mean, it's like they know what he is. They know how he operates. They know he needs to grow up. I don't think that when I watched that play with the flag throwing, that one thing that did bother me was that you had a whole bunch of guys standing around looking around, and you know this guy is really combustible, and he's in a situation where he might do something. Now, he did it pretty fast, but I would hope that somebody would grab him in the same way somebody would have grabbed Travis Kelce a year ago when he did what he did.
You were very critical that the Chiefs didn't get in his way before he did the whole throwing his towel at the ref thing that got himself ejected.
Yeah.
No Chiefs player stepped in front of him and said, hey, because they know Kelce's the same kind of guy. He's emotional.
Why do you sit there and watch a guy have a meltdown? Why would you not grab him and pull him away? I mean, Justin Houston did that when it happened with the Bob Sutton situation when he was yelling at him. I thought that was a smart move. But, again, I go back to if you start to think like you can go out and replace really talented players, or you go out and you start to think that guys are never going to change or grow up or get better, then you haven't been watching the NFL for the last 2 decades. Because I can sit here and list you numerous players, starting with a guy who played at Kansas, who was a pretty good cornerback in the NFL, who's made a lot of money, who's got a Super Bowl ring. Aqib Talib is like the perfect example of what this guy could become. Odell Beckham, the New York Giants, does a lot of the same things and has had a lot of the same things said about him. And I guarantee you, if you could sign him up right now, every fan in this town would take him.
That was because we had a pretty good back and forth with Grunny earlier this year about it, and that was the first thing I threw back at him was, what about Dale Carter? What about Aqib Talib? And now Dale Carter, I can't remember if he ended up winning a Super Bowl late. I can't remember, but
those guys did things right off the field and got in trouble.
That's the thing.
But is it fair to put Marcus Peters?
No,
him,
it's Marcus not. Peters, no. But what I'm saying though is let's just take their on the field personas. Aqib Talib will get in the face of other players. He'll act like a punk. He'll do all these things. He'll help you win a Super Bowl. Richard Sherman. Yeah. Richard Sherman, I mean, look at the stuff that he's pulled in games, you know? And maybe that's a more fair one because I don't think he's ever had any issues off the field or anything like that. But on the field, he's had personal fouls. He's had altercations with other players on other teams and on his own team.
Been on his own quarterback?
Yeah, I mean.
Had a whole story written about how bad of a presence he was.
Yeah, and you know what? He's got Super Bowl ring. Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch, you know? I do think, and I read Sam Mellinger's story about it, and I thought it was a very interesting take on it. I do think that Marcus, his personality in a town like this, which is more conservative, that is sort of it's a combustible mix. And I think that over time, if he's going to be here, they've got to figure out a way to make him understand, how to get along here. And the fans have to be open to him. You know, you can't sit here and say, well, he's got to be this way or that way, or he's not like this guy or that guy. He is who he is. You have to be. I think it's never fair. I've heard people compare him to Terrell Owens. Like, Terrell Owens is a whole different kind of beast. You know, Terrell Owens ripped apart locker rooms. Terrell Owens was like impossible to handle. I think that I really do believe if this guy was as bad as people make him out to be, he would never be here in the first place.
I think that to me, this is just I can only speak for myself as a Kansas City person. I want to see the team get to a Super Bowl. More than any of the other stuff, I just want to see that. Now, I don't want them, within reason, I don't want them to have a bunch of horrible human beings on their team, whatever. I don't think
that's important.
Peters is.
He's a horrible human being.
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. I'll continue to reiterate. I don't believe he's ever even been accused of a crime.
No.
So, and not everybody who has been accused of a crime is a horrible person, by the way. People can also overcome making big mistakes in their lives and become better people. We talked to Dale Carter, by the way. I just want to get that out there. And he changed his life. People can change. People can grow. But I don't know that it's possible to win a Super Bowl without a couple of difficult, quote-unquote, guys on your team. Without a couple of guys that have exceptional talent that you have to... You have to put them in the right circumstances, and you have to manage it the right way and all that. Guys that are going to push the envelope and push their teammates and fight back against certain things. Yeah. Like I don't know how many Super Bowl winning teams don't have a few guys like that on the team.
And I think people are being really naive if they think there aren't more guys out there who were like Marcus who play in the NFL. I remember Marvin Lewis telling me a story about when he started coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he had Greg Lloyd and he had Kevin Green. We're starting outside linebackers. He said, let me tell you something. We were talking about Vontaze Burfict. He said, that was a challenge, like dealing with those guys. Like the first meeting he had with in his linebacker room, he was coaching linebackers. He said, gave him the game plan. Greg Lloyd balled it up, threw it in a trash can, sat back and was just like, what are we going to do? Those are the kind of personalities you get in the NFL. And again, I can go up and down the list, whether it's Randy Moss, as we mentioned, Tlaib, you talk about Andre Rison, Brett Favre's had his moments. There's so many guys who have made mistakes, but it's because they were immature. And that's what when you start talking about, should we keep a guy? Is a guy good for your team? He's only not good for you if he's a bad person, if he's doing illegal stuff, or he can't play. Anything else, you're just like kidding yourself about how the NFL really works.
Okay, so we've seen now Marcus Peters have a one-game suspension. He comes back, and so much of what happens moving forward depends on this game Saturday night and how the season ends, right? You get to the offseason. Do you think that the Chiefs, recognizing how talented he is, are willing to stick with Marcus Peters, or do you think that the Chiefs could actually think about moving on from him or perhaps trading him? Because I was reminded of this yesterday, since there's such a close link between Marcus Peters and Marshawn Lynch. Sometimes I forget that Marshawn Lynch even played for Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Right? And they decided, you know what, we're not going to deal with Marshawn Lynch. And they traded him to Seattle, right? For a 2011 fourth-round pick and a 2012 conditional pick that was a sixth-rounder that became a fifth-rounder.
Yeah.
So they just gave him away. Right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't because he wasn't a really good football player.
Yeah.
And so do you think that is a consideration for the Chiefs, or do you think they're willing to put up with this because of his talent?
I think that's something to ask yourself, by the way. How did that work out for the Bills, and how did that work out for the Seahawks?
Right.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, look what happened to Aqib Talib when he left Tampa.
Right, but the point is teams will walk away from talent if they don't want to deal.
Yeah, and that comes back to, do you have a program in place that allows you to deal with the guy? In Buffalo, and I know Marshawn, and in Buffalo, he was a fish out of water, and he'd never been away from Oakland, California. He played at Cal, grew up in Oakland. He didn't fit in there, and when he got traded to Seattle, what people told me was like, okay, he's on a team now with some guys who he played with at Cal who are there on the team. He's on the West Coast. We can go home easier. And these things made it easier for him to excel, to feel comfortable.
So do the Chiefs have the right situation for Marcus Peters?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out. And that's what they got to figure out. Because I think that is a question worth asking. If you're going to trade him, you better get something really good. Otherwise, you don't do a deal. Anybody who wants to sit here and say that you can go out and find an all-pro cornerback in the NFL just like that,
you can't give away
a different game.
You can't give away for something like that.
No, no. And you have to even look at Travis Kelce and say, well, a year ago, we were having similar conversations about him. Not getting rid of him, but when's he going to grow up? He's getting too many personal fouls. Now he's grown up. You know, it can happen that fast if you want to give it a chance.
You said that the fans have to learn to accept him. There's a percentage of the fans in this city that are never going to come back around on Marcus Peters, I don't believe.
Yeah, but I think we also...
Is that a problem?
Well, no, but I think we also drive the narrative in here. I know there's people... I know Keatsman's not a fan. I know Seren's not a fan. That the narrative you drive also affects that. If you're not sitting here and saying, hey, let's take a look at all the things he's done. Let's be open-minded to this. If you're just saying, he's bad news, he's gone, he's not answering my questions about the anthem, he needs to go, that fuels that. I think what the article Sam wrote was probably the most open-minded thing I've heard about Marcus Peters since he's been here.
Jeff Chedilla is in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady, with Jeff Chedilla from NFL Network and NFL.com. So the Chiefs do get the win without Marcus Peters on Sunday against the Raiders. Now they face the red-hot San Diego, Los Angeles, California Chargers at Arrowhead Stadium on Saturday night in prime time. Marcus Peters expected to be back on the field and in the lineup. And you think that's, you agree with everything there?
Yes.
Back after one game suspension, put him right back in the lineup?
Yes. I think he should be playing. You know, I get that people say that they played better without him, but I don't think you can sustain that over a long period of time. I think he helps your defense. I will say that, and I've wondered this before, is he as good at playing zone as he is playing man? Because they played zone a lot better when he wasn't out there, and he takes a lot of chances. You know, he'll take some risks going after the football, and he had a big play behind him when they were playing zone against Dallas when Terrence Williams ended up having a 53-yard gain. That has to be looked at, but maybe he's going to be more open to doing some things and being a little more disciplined if they have to go that route. But I do think, look, the thing about the Chargers that, and I know they're really hot and playing really well, but it's hard for me to get on that bandwagon. And they've got talent with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram rushing the passer and Keenan Allen's playing well, but and maybe I'm one of these people. I'm just cynical of who they played. And I was like, maybe I should go back and look at their schedule and see what they've done in this whatever winning streak they've had. And this is what I saw. Giants, first game they won in this year, was on a 5-game losing streak. Raiders, second game they won this year, they were on a 4-game losing streak. Broncos, next game they won, they're in an 8-game losing streak right now. Cowboys, without Zeke Elliott and Sean Lee, 3-game losing streak. Bills, with Nathan Peterman.
Right.
On a 3-game losing streak. Browns haven't won a game this year. Redskins, 2-5 and gave up 30 points in their last 5 losses.
But the Chiefs had a similar schedule and lost.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Games.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when they've played good teams, they've lost.
Right.
Chiefs can at least say they've played good teams and won.
The Chiefs weird thing is the Chiefs have won games against good teams and lost games against bad teams.
Are the Chiefs a good team?
I think the Chiefs
now?
Are. I think they play the way they play. If they play the way they played against the Raiders, they'll win. On Saturday night. I think that they are a better team overall than the Chargers.
What would make you the most nervous about this matchup for the Chiefs?
That they would get away from what they did last week, that they would forget what they did. I think the biggest thing I saw last week that really was encouraging to me.
Run the football,
be physical, be more simple. That's, I think Sam made that point, Sam Mellinger made that point with you guys the other day. Talked about the offensive line. They were trying to do things with the offensive line that the offensive line couldn't do, and they scaled it back. I saw the same thing with the defense in the secondary. Let's play to our players' strengths. And when they do that, they look pretty good.
I mean, look, could they be up to the challenge? Yes. I'm talking about the offensive line. But I think, first of all, they had tremendous success running the football the first time around against the Chargers. I think that they got their mojo back running the football last week against the Raiders, and I don't necessarily want to see Alex Smith dropped back 40 times with Bosa and Ingram rushing off the edge against. Because I mean, I have confidence in Mitchell Schwartz, but I've seen Eric Fisher get destroyed by good pass rushers, and these are better than good pass rushers. Yeah. So I think the key is running the football and continuing to stick with the running game and not give up on it too quick.
I would agree with that, and they ran the ball well against them the first time around. It's very much like the Raiders game. They played offensively, well offensively against the Raiders, didn't play well defensively, got the defense figured out. They played well defensively against San Diego the first time around. Phillip Rivers is still a quarterback who can make mistakes against you because he'll take some chances.
Move him off a spot.
Move him off a spot. But I will say you're right. I think they ran the ball well. They were very physical. And why can't that be the case the second time around?
They won at the point of attack on both sides of the ball, which I don't remember the last time I said that about the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, the very first possession, the Raiders go three and out, and Chris Jones is blowing up plays in the backfield.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, they ran the ball. Here's the thing. They had success running the ball early, and then they kept running. What I want to see is if they don't have success running the ball early, do they stick with it, or do they pull the, you know, do they pull the ejector seat like they usually do on the run game? But they won at the point of attack. Well, which how many times have the Chiefs done that this year?
And what I want to see too is what I saw some of on Sunday, which is the screen game being a factor. That screen through to Travis Kelce was a well designed play. They got Khalil Mack going up the field. When you have aggressive pass rushers, got to be part of your game plan. But I also like the fact that all of a sudden now, the comeback is in the Chiefs' game plan. The comeback pattern. They threw an 18-yard comeback to Tyreek Hill. Been waiting for that play all season long, and they went to it. And so I'm hoping that that becomes a bigger factor. I'm hoping that double moves begin to appear in this offense, which, again, when you have a speedster like Tyreek Hill and you have a dynamic tight end like Travis Kelce you saw against the Jets, double moves are great to run. And also, look, I love them going under center. We said this, I think Grunhard mentioned it weeks ago. I talked about it last week. Just being under center, having that mentality, we are coming at you, is huge. So, like, all those things, if they continue to do those things and enhance those concepts, I think they're going to win.
Jeff Chedia from NFL Network in studio, back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jeff, what's your takeaway from the Patriots' loss to the Dolphins last night?
Miami somehow finds a way to beat that team every year. That's how I look at it.
Miami comes to Arrowhead in 2 weeks.
They're not bringing that same thing, that same magic.
Good.
That's not something you can rely on week in and week out. They're struggling down there.
The Patriots go to the Steelers this Sunday. The winner will be the number one seed, and based on the records, I think the winner will it's clearly Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh clinches it, and then New England just has to finish strong, and their schedule cooperates. Who do you pick in this game in Pittsburgh?
I like Pittsburgh. You know, I think the way they're playing, they're finding ways to win. I think with what's happened with Shazier, how do you pronounce his name? Is it Shazier? I think that's given them a whole different level of mental edge, emotional.
He was also a hell advantage. Of a player, so they have to.
Yeah, but it didn't really affect you as much. But as far as Patriots aren't a great running team, so I think he's really good coverage linebacker. But I think when I look at what Pittsburgh brings to the table, I think they can create a lot of problems for the Patriots. And I remember even Mike Tomlin talking about this weeks ago, saying, we're looking forward to this game. I think in like week 10, he was like, all right, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. We're looking forward to week 15 with these guys.
And if they win, then they've got 3 weeks to get ready for the divisional round. Then they've already clinched the number one seed and do whatever they want, whatever Mike Tomlin decides.
Yeah, it'll be epic, though. It'll definitely be epic.
Can't wait.
But, I think it's going to be a great game.
And I'm glad the Chiefs are on Saturday night. You watch that Saturday night and New England on Sunday.
My only beef
what time is
that
game on Sunday?
325.
It's not a late game. Not
325.
Game. I didn't flex it.
Who's your official? What's your official pick for the Chiefs then?
The score?
Yes. Well, you got the Chiefs for sure.
Oh, I'm going Chiefs. Last time it was what, 24-10?
Mm-hmm.
I'll take Chiefs 21-20.
Ooh.
Harrison Butker winning at the end.
Buttkicker.com.
Who are you guys picking?
Oh, man.
I know you've been riding that Chargers train for a long time.
Well, I picked the Chiefs every week for the past 5 weeks, and it's not gone very well until last week. I have been, because I've thought that the Chargers were better than the Raiders and the Broncos, and they are. I don't know why, but I think the Chiefs are going to win the game.
You don't know why.
Well,
a lot of good reasons from last week.
Well, I think Alex Smith's going to play well. The number one reason why I think they're going to win is because they reestablished the run game. It's about confidence. It's about attitude. Grenhart tells me that. He told me that 50,000 times since I've known him. It's about attitude.
Yeah.
And they showed, once again, a rejuvenated run game. And I think if they do that and they stick to the run game, and I think that's a big key, getting Kareem Hunt involved. And I like what Nate says about throwing him the football as well. He's just so good. The first guy never brings him down. And he's added dimension.
But don't you agree, like, there's a chip on their shoulder again? Like, this is not just a team that's – I think they're humans too. They may not say it, but I'm sure they looked at the Bills when they were struggling, or the Giants or the Jets, and thought, you know, we're going to beat those teams. You know, come out of a break. We're going to have the bye. We're going to get some wins here and get it going.
I think they had that the first couple games out of the bye. Then after they lost those two games, I think they lost all their confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I think they started playing tentatively and playing almost, you know, not to lose and waiting for something bad to happen. And then it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You start doing things to cause yourself to lose. And that's what stood out to me about this game, is that they came out aggressively. And, you know, the defensive line was aggressive. They were looking to penetrate into the backfield. The offensive line actually was creating holes. And Alex Smith was even pushing the ball downfield, even through a stupid interception, because he was trying to make a play.
Yeah.
Things that we haven't seen a lot. So I'm hoping they maintain that mentality. I'm hoping that they play with a chip on their shoulder, because they're home underdogs in their division. And they should play like, you know, it's us against the world. And I think that if they do, that gives them the best chance to win.
And again, I go back to the body language. I don't know if you remember when Hunt scored his first touchdown. Like, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif was like, it was like Christmas.
He had a hell of a block, and he went crazy.
He went crazy.
He had a great game, by the way.
And when you talk about the Kelce play, the interception, the best thing about that was it came off the field. Kelce was like, it's cool. It's like, it wasn't like, what the? It was like, all right, whatever. It happened. And so it's like, those little things indicate faith and trust and belief in what you're doing.
He threw that interception because he tried to throw Kelce the ball, and Kelce was open on the play. It was a terrible throw.
The pass to Albert Wilson was that kind. He was never covered. Tried to throw that ball to Albert Wilson.
He was completely covered, and he threw it up, and Wilson made the play, which should give Alex some more confidence and take a shot like that again.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things that we mentioned today, and I'd just like to get your quick response, the top three seeds right now in the NFC, the quarterbacks that lead those teams are Case Keenum and Nick Foles and Jared Goff. And they were all three on the Rams the first day of training camp last year.
Scary, huh? All roads lead to the Rams.
So what do you think Jeff Fisher's doing right now? Just hitting the whiskey? What? I had all three of those quarterbacks.
Somebody told me he's getting his staff together.
Is that you? Yeah, they did. All these reasons. I don't know what to do. He's ready to go. He's ready to roll. So who's the team right now, the team to beat in the NFC? Who's the best team in the NFC now?
I think it's still New Orleans. I feel like with Drew Brees, proven quarterback, their defense, as long as they're healthy in the back end with Marshawn Lattimore in that running game, it'd be tough to beat. Minnesota, though, if Minnesota can get that first, that top bye, two games in their home stadium and then the Super Bowl in Minneapolis, it's a heck of a story.
What about my man's chance? He's longed for this. What's that? For Nick Foles to lead a team into the playoffs. What's going to happen?
Well, he's going to lead a team. They're already in the playoffs.
Well, I mean into the and win.
Where they'll go from there, I don't know. But, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's a tough break, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrible.
God.
It's terrible.
I've never seen a season where so many star players have gotten hurt.
MVP candidates.
It's like Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, and Deshaun Watson. God.
I mean, I don't feel sorry for anybody, because Eric Berry was the absolute MVP of this defense.
Heart and soul.
They lost him week one.
You could have an all-pro team. You could fill an all-pro team with guys who were hurt right
hell
now.
Hell yes.
Richard Sherman,
yeah.
I mean, he's
David Johnson, Odell Beckham.
Go down the list.
player after player.
Can't remember. You guys mentioned J.J. Watt?
J.J. Watt, yeah. Whitney Merciless. It's rough time, so that's why I say you never know what can happen when you get in the playoffs. You never know what can happen. People go down. People get banged up.
You know, if New England loses this Sunday, Pittsburgh will clinch the number one seed, and if Jacksonville wins this Sunday, then they'll take over the number two seed.
Jacksonville could still theoretically win.
And so you're saying that it could end up being Pittsburgh. You wouldn't see Pittsburgh until the end.
No, because the Chiefs is the four seed. So, like, if it ended up, they would have to play Pittsburgh right off the bat, but then it would be New England at Jacksonville and divisional.
Isn't it still mathematically possible that Jacksonville could be the one seed? They're 9-4.
I think I read that mathematically.
Pittsburgh would have to have the collapse of all collapses. But
all I'm going to say is this has been a wacky season. It could get wackier. It's going to get wackier.
Are you saying the Chiefs are going to do what the Giants did and back in as a or come on late?
I'm saying
as a late entry into the playoffs and go all the way to the Super Bowl and win it?
Atlanta Falcons were 7-5 last year and they lost to the Chiefs.
Look at Jake's face right
there. 7-5.
You know, he's resisting all this right now.
That's right. That's right. Jake's not watching any more football until next year.
Right. I totally give up. No, I think you're going to see the Jacksonville Jaguars in the Super Bowl.
You think Blake Bortles taking that team to the Super Bowl, huh?
That's wacky, isn't it? Wouldn't that be wacky?
That would be wacky.
Well, you've always said you have to have a dominant defense to get by with a subpar quarterback. They have a dominant defense.
And a good running game. Those are the two things.
A hell of a running game.
Yep. So if they win against L.A. Chargers, are you going to be back on the bandwagon? Are you going to feel good about them in the playoffs? Or are you going to be like, this is the best they can do? They have to prove me. Okay.
Prove it to me.
If they win four straight.
The bottom line is this.
You got to prepare.
Nothing. Okay, look, I desperately want them to win the division because you know how many times the Chiefs have won back-to-back division titles?
Never, right?
Never.
Unreal.
Never.
Not once.
So that is That's meaningful to me as a Chiefs. That absolutely means something. But then, in order for this season to be a success, I'm not going to change. They got to get to the AFC Championship game. And so I'm telling you, if they win against San Diego, all signs are pointing to a date with Pittsburgh in the divisional round in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to exercise some demons, that's how you got to do it.
That's how you do it, huh?
You got to face the beast.
One more dance, huh?
And if they were somehow beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, you wouldn't see me for a week. You would not see me. I'd just be a rumor. I'd be running around this damn town.
Hey, it's hard.
You think Nate gets crazy on road trips?
Oh, boy.
See what I do in Kansas City.
It's hard to beat a team four straight times.
Hey, come see me at Firehouse Subs at the Blue Ridge Crossing right past the Kaufman, the Truman Sports Complex. A meatball sub and chips and a drink for $6 from 11 to 1.
Have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.